This podcast is a proud member of the New Jersey Podcasters Association.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily the views and opinions of Haunted New Jersey, LLC, or Haunted New Jersey Films, LLC.
Haunted New Jersey Podcast number 22 for April 4th, 2006. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Haunted New Jersey podcast number 22. We are your hosts, Garrett Husbeth and
Brent Dolan.
So what's up, dude?
Nothing. I got to make up the slack here with my crappy mic with your brand new, nice, shiny looking mic there.
Yeah, I got a Heil mic. It's unbelievably awesome.
It looks pretty nice, I have to say.
It was a little pricey, but I think it's definitely worth it because now I sound much, much better than you do.
And it really complements your face, especially when it's so close to it. It's really nice.
Well, I think we should take a picture of it and let everybody see it because it's so cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah,
it glistens just like your forehead.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's nice.
My receding hairline?
That's not what I meant. But yes.
Are you saying that since I'm going to be 38 next year, I'm old? Next week, rather. I'm
next
old.
Year, yeah. Jesus.
I'll be 39 next year.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah,
happy,
I can't believe
happy
it.
Happy birthday. Is that not belated? What's the other
no,
word?
It's not belated. Premature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
my birthday's
cool.
Not until Monday.
So send all Garrett happy birthday wishes and emails.
Yeah, you can do that. Send me birthday presents. Send me money. Music by Lex Wall. And make sure you check out Lex's podcast, Anything Ghost. And you can get to it at Podcast Alley or I think Podcast Pickle, too. But we'll put a link up to it in the show notes, which are always at blog.hauntednewjersey.com. So, we were supposed to have Jackie Barrett, Psychic Jackie Barrett, our friend, on this week. But something came up, and we weren't able to get together with her. So we're just kind of winging it this week. We're going to, not really winging it. We're going to check in with parapsychologist Pam Heath, our friend. And she's been up to some interesting writing, and she was on an Indian reservation doing some research, and she just got back today. So we're going to have an interview with her a little bit later, but Brent and I are just going to read some email and shoot the stuff for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a little tired now from trying to put new locks in all our doors.
Yeah, the studio here is really coming along.
We'll have to get some
really
photos.
Nice.
Yeah, get some photos up and post them on the internet.
Yep.
Check it out.
Yep, so we're just putting new deadbolts on all the doors. I measured today we have about close to 3,000 square feet up here.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Actually, it's more, I think, yeah, it's around 3,000 square feet, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's nice.
Two 850 square foot rooms in the back here that we're not really even using for anything yet. One's going to be a conference room and a green screen room, and the other one's going to be a rumpus room where we're going to have a golf net, and we're going to play roller hockey back there.
Maybe even practice on my 75-mile-an-hour fastball.
Right, and you're going to bring the remote control cars up here. Yeah. It's going to be pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, it might. The radio-controlled cars will go pretty fast, so you'll be smashing into walls.
Yeah.
So I might have to reconsider not bringing those up.
Yeah, maybe. So things are coming along here, and I talked to Gene Fitzpatrick from the Hometown Tales podcast, or actually emailed with him a few days ago, and we're going to move ahead with this contest to do. You and two of your friends will come out to Jersey and do an overnight investigation with us here. And I think it's going to be an eBay auction, but I'm not sure. I haven't squared that away with Gene yet. He had to talk to Brian about some things. So I don't want to announce it too prematurely, but I should know probably by next week's podcast what's going on.
I have to say that mic sounds great.
It does.
And it sounds fantastic. It's amazing what a microphone will do.
It's amazing. what $250 will do.
I mean, no knock to the Radio Shack one that I'm using, but hey.
Those are pretty good mics for, you know, what they cost. I think they were like $75 or something
like
that.
You know what stinks, dude? You don't even give me a Sennheiser mic, and you got like four of them laying around.
Those sound almost as good as the Sennheisers.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll buy you one of these for your birthday.
I know where I stand.
All right. Well, you can buy one of these mics if you want.
Nah, that's okay. I sound perfectly fine for me.
All right.
That nice nasally, tinny sound.
Yeah.
But that might just be my voice.
That is your voice.
Great.
Well, what?
That's
it. Say something? All right.
No. Oh, we do have some stuff up on the store.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you talk about that before we read the email?
I didn't post it yet, but I actually, it's at hauntednewjersey.com/store.
Okay, that
it,
so,
but it's not up yet.
But
it's
they
not,
can get to it by typing that in.
Yeah, they can type that in. I didn't finish it. I need to take some photos. We need to fix the covers.
Yeah,
but
of the
you
DVDs,
know,
right?
Yeah, it's getting along. I mean, we got something up there, and then we'll be slapping more stuff up when we get along. I mean, we've still been concentrating on fixing this place up.
Yeah,
that it's just so hard to get anything else done and actually have a life and then actually go to work.
Right. I forgot about the work thing.
Yeah, that work thing seems to get in the way of a lot of things.
Yeah, I've been studying for, I don't know what this has to do with ghosts, but we don't have much to talk about tonight, I guess.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, but I've been studying for a forensic certification, an exam I have to take, and I've had no time. Like, usually I'm pretty good at listening to podcasts, especially Gene and Brian's, but I don't think I've listened to a podcast in about a month and a half. And my brain, I can't absorb any more information. This is like really hairy stuff. And I've got to go away second week of May to Washington, D.C. to do some.
Oh, I thought you meant go away like straitjacket or something.
No, maybe. Oh. We'll see. But I have to go to D.C. to do some lab work towards this certification. So I don't know if we're going to be able to do a podcast that week. Upcoming guests, we're still talking to Father Pagano, the Roman Catholic priest, friend of Al Roberts, our other partner. He's a parapsychologist. It's a hard time to get Father Pagano in here because it's, you know, the Lent season and Easter's coming up. So hopefully after Easter, we'll be able to get him in. And next Friday, Al will be here. He's coming into town for the holiday, for Easter. And we're trying to get a woman, Nancy, I'm not going to say her last name, but she had a haunted restaurant that Al had been in for many years. It's no longer there, but she's got some great stories. I think her house was haunted, too. So hopefully she'll be here next Friday. If not, Al will probably just relay the stories of this particular investigation. But he had been in and out of there, I think, for a couple of years. It's pretty interesting.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. So next Friday night or Saturday, we'll have a podcast out with Al.
And those are always enjoyable because they go over the 1 hour limit.
Yeah, it'll be a long one.
Yeah.
Let me read some listener email here. Okay, this is from Doug Hornick, and Doug is in Japan. Tried your number by typing it in directly. This is our Skype number, 973-968-5131. Can't get connected. Skype says it's a Skype out number, a number forbidden. Maybe it has something to do with me being overseas. Yeah, it is. Because it's working fine here in the States. And if anybody wants to call us and leave us a message, that's our phone number. We'd love, people have, but I want to get something good we can use on the air. So if you have a story or if you just want to call and say hi, call the number 973-968-5131 and leave us a message. And then Doug emailed us a little story of his. Thank you guys, I just received your stickers. Wow, I didn't think you'd bother sending to someone way out in Japan. I appreciate it. I'm working my way through your podcast from the beginning. I just finished number 14. I'd like to share a story that I also shared with Gene and Brian. I'm a retired Air Force guy, and I used to be stationed at McGuire Air Force Base for 11 years. That's in New Jersey. We bought a house on Spring Lake in the Country Lakes area of Brown Mills. This is no bull.
Nice.
That's a nice area.
Really nice area.
Yeah. For an Air Force guy.
Yeah, isn't that the, is Spring Lake the Irish Riviera?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's gorgeous.
Let's see. My wife's aunt, who lived in Tokyo, always said that if we had a child, she would come to New Jersey to help take care of my wife after the delivery. Unfortunately, her aunt died of cancer in 1993. In 1996, we had a baby girl. Our dog began to act strange a couple of weeks later. We were in our living room watching TV, and the dog suddenly stands up, turns towards the empty couch, and growls and barks at something. Another day, we were in the kitchen, and the dog walks over to the laundry room entrance and begins barking again. The last time we were all in the bedroom, and again the dog turns towards the corner of the room and begins barking. I grabbed my Polaroid camera and snapped it in the direction, but unfortunately I didn't notice anything unusual on the picture. I'm guessing that maybe my wife's aunt came to visit us like she said she would. I've always been interested in stuff like this. I'm hoping to get something on tape one of these days. Thanks again, Doug Hornick. So I can't say in this particular case if, you know, the dog was sensing something that we don't or can't. You know, as everybody probably realizes, animals' perception is much more sharp and fine-tuned than human beings.
Yeah, don't they have more senses than us, too?
Well, I think they can. I know that scientific fact, they can detect, like, subsonic frequencies and things like that human beings just can't do.
Is that when I'm playing my drums? Is that why the dog's barking?
Or is it just because you suck?
I'm just a lousy drummer.
Yeah. And, but, you know, I can't say in this particular circumstance, but, you know, it's fairly common and haunting phenomena for animals to behave strangely. So that's a good question. Since nothing else odd had happened in the house, I would just have to say, I don't know. You know, I don't know, but.
Hey, try some recording.
Yeah, see that's what happens, and let us know if you get anything. Yeah. Other listeners have. Well, that's another thing. Before we leave tonight, I'm going to go down into Mr. Boom's room downstairs, and we're going to do 5 minutes on a digital IC. I have a Sony digital IC recorder just for EVP. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm just going to take the raw recording and put it into the end of the podcast, and you guys can all listen to and see if we get any voices. I'm going to listen too after the podcast is out.
You almost said raw footage. It's so crazy that we do so much video stuff. We're so used to saying
footage,
but you caught yourself.
All right. Let's see. I have another email. This is for our friend Tanya in Chicago. Hi, guys. I just listened to the latest podcast, number 21, and loved it. I was excited to hear about the upcoming Fangoria TV project. Can't wait till it comes out. And was fascinated with your personal experience in your haunted apartment, Garrett. I'd love to hear more personal stories as well, and can't wait to hear what the vault reveals now that you guys are firmly ensconced there. One thought about why activity dies down in the winter. Could the actual temperature have something to do with it? I've heard that entities need to pull energy from their surroundings, which is why battery packs can drain. Could it be that the surrounding temperatures or heat energy so low, with the surrounding temperature or heat energy so low, entities or whatever it is can't pull enough energy to produce the phenomena? Also looking forward to your interview with psychic friend Jackie. I had actually planned to ask if you were planning on having your friend back. What's her name? Patricia Pamela. That's Pam. She was on the show a few weeks back and mentioned a little bit about her psychic training. So, yeah, she goes on to ask some questions about psychics, which I can't answer because neither of us are psychic. But anyway, yeah, I'm glad that you enjoyed my story. I don't really, in a house that I've lived in, have any more stories. And you don't have any stories, right?
Nope, nothing.
No, okay. And she wants to know, can I enter the contest again? Yes, you can, because every 60 days, if you win, you got to wait 60 days. And Tanya, you've been longer than 60 days, so consider yourself re-entered into the contest. And as far as the temperature thing, I mean, this is a good question. You know, the parapsychological literature does go on to talk about, you know, theories as far as entities pulling energy from around them. Could it have something to do with the cold? You know, I can't say that it doesn't. I don't know. You know, we know that they can pull energy from man-made electromagnetic fields, from things, you know, like junction boxes or microwave ovens. And Alice talked a lot about, you know, them pulling energy from us because we are electrical beings and we do, you know, throw out a certain amount of EMF. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I have heard talk about temperature changes due to, parapsychological or paranormal phenomena occurring. So it's a good question, something that I'll have to think about. I'll ask Al about it next time I see him. Oh, actually, that'll be next week. All right, and then we have a email from Dean Meyer. Hey guys, Dean Meyer here, the teacher. The kids absolutely went bonkers when they heard my email read, and that was before the offer for the free stickers. A few weeks ago, you remember he sent us an email and we offered to send them stickers back. So the kids heard that on the podcast, so we sent them some stickers. You guys rock. I really can't say enough. Oh, here comes the train. That's a train, right?
Yes, but okay. I don't know if they'll be able to hear.
All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I get sidetracked so easily.
ADD just kicked in.
Yeah, right. You guys rock. I really can't say it enough. I love the fact that Garrett especially promotes the idea of skepticism and the use of science to explain and explore our environment. Brent, of course, is always good for the humor element. Both of you really promote interest or skepticism, as opposed to many other podcasts whose hosts fawn over their guests and appear to take every idea and comment hook, line, and sinker with as much false enthusiasm as a Fox reality show contestant. Ain't that the truth? We need more segments with Al Rauber. I know he has to have hours of stories from his years of experience, and yeah, he does. And we'll talk about some of them next Friday. I have 26 kids this year who rarely quiet down since they are a very chatty group. This, of course, makes them excellent for podcasting since they never lack for something to share. Thanks again for the stickers. You're certainly educating and empowering the next generation of podcasters here in Michigan. And that's from the Lanesburg Elementary School in Lanesburg, Michigan. So, kids, we sent them the stickers, and we got that great picture back with all the kids with our stickers, which we're going to post in the blog this week.
Yeah, that was great. And I actually mentioned that the last time we did a podcast, and you basically told me to shut up. You didn't have the email with you.
That one. Why don't you shut up now, then?
Oh, okay.
No, go ahead.
You know what? I'm good at shutting up, but you know why?
No, you're not.
I got the crappy mic.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Well, I just sound so much better than you.
Yeah. Okay, Barry White.
Okay, and then Dean sends another email. Thank you so much for the stickers, and especially can't get into that. You certainly didn't need to rush them out, but as that today was the last day before spring break, it was the ultimate carrot to hold over them. I can't wait to check out I can't get into that either. And the kids were so itchy to see them all. I sent them some stuff I wasn't supposed to send them.
These were
contraband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I sent him some DVDs.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, I know. I don't think anybody's going to care. So I was sending some DVDs.
Nobody's going to care.
The kids will like it. You're certainly helping to inspire my class of podcasters here in Lanesburg. Thanks for your generosity, frankness, and scientific curiosity in pursuing scientific explanations of unknown phenomena. At an age when kids are tuning out to science, this is a great hook to encourage their interest. Have a great weekend. Dean Meyer. And so here's the picture. Isn't that cool?
I know you all can't
see it, but we'll post it in the blog. Al hasn't stopped talking about it for like 4 or 5 days now. So, Dean, anytime. If we get some new stickers, we'll make sure to let you know. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Because we've been babbling on for about 17 and a half minutes right now.
Yeah, well, is that where you cut me off?
No. I'm trying to kill some more time before we do the interview with Pam.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot you had the interview with Pam, which will probably be awesome.
Yeah, she's always awesome.
And she did the plug for the when I listened to the, what do you call it, the bumper?
For what?
For the podcast.
Yeah, no, she gave us a bumper.
That came out great.
Yep, and I know her book is getting close to coming out, her new book, and she'll have some stuff to talk about.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you have anything else? You want to pick a winner?
Oh, yeah, we got to do that.
All right, go ahead, draw from the hat.
The winner is Jason Walls.
Where does he live?
He is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Ah, a Milwaukee winner. Awesome. Yeah. All right, Jason, you win a AAEVP DVD and one of Al's audio CDs, Ghost Poltergeist and the Electronic Voice, and we'll get that stuff right out to you. And again, if you guys want to enter our weekly podcast drawing for Haunted New Jersey swag or related ghost swag, you can send us an email with your postal mailing address. Don't forget to send that to info@hauntednewjersey.com. Okay, so, you know, we're going to be traveling a little bit, but we talked about all that last week, so I don't know if I want to go over it again.
Yeah, we were also thinking of taking our equipment on the road.
Where, to Pittsburgh?
I guess. Well, we don't know. We wanted to get a test set up, because you actually just purchased a new laptop, right?
Yeah, I bought another laptop.
So we can actually probably hook the two laptops and make it a
oh yeah, I see, like a portable podcast. Well, when we go out to we're supposed to go out to the Fangoria Weekend of Horrors in Burbank, California to make an appearance, I think the first weekend of June, unless they change that, because they often do change things on us. But we're probably going to be podcasting with some people out there. And it might not be like completely ghost-related because there's going to be a lot of movie directors and actors and stuff there that we have access to that we may just podcast for the heck of it.
Yeah, but it's going to be like a horror.
Yeah, it's a horror thing, but it might not be all about ghosts. But while we're there, we might as well talk to these people.
Yeah, I get people, you know, it's probably a cross type of thing, you know, where people still can...
It is.
You know, you can like ghosts and like horror at the same
time.
No,
I know. And some of these guys, like Tom Savini's house is haunted, which we're supposed to be going out there either later this month or in May or June or I don't know when. Hopefully the end of this month to investigate his house. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. I mean, just imagine the stuff that he has laying around in his house just to see from all the movies.
Right, all the movies he's done over the years.
If people don't know who he is, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
Tom Salvini?
Savini. Savini.com. Savini.com. Yeah, I put a link in the show notes to it last week. I'll probably do it again this week because we're talking about him.
Famous makeup artist.
An actor and director.
An actor, yes.
Yeah, he's from Dawn of the Dead all the way up to From Dusk Till Dawn. I mean, he's just worked on tons of stuff. So he was. It was cool because Jackie Barrett was talking to him on the phone last week, and he's on location. And I'm not going to say where. I'm not going to get into it. But he was filming a movie, and he was there with George Romero and Quentin Tarantino, and they were surfing our website, and they loved it. So that was pretty cool that those guys were on our site.
Yeah, that's awesome. What did they say? They said, it is pretty cool.
It was really cool.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, that's nice. So at least we know somebody famous was on our website.
Yeah, we're like that movie, Almost Famous.
Almost.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't really have anything else to talk about. Next week should be good. When Al's in town, and we might have his friend Nancy here. We're not sure yet. And again, Pam Heath is coming up shortly. Make sure you stop by and sign our Frapper map. The link is off the main page of hauntednewjersey.com, down at the bottom. A bunch of people signed this week. We appreciate it. So go ahead there, sign up, join our map.
And also, don't forget to visit the website at hauntednewjersey.com and check out the t-shirts, too.
Yeah, so. People have been buying stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so, yeah. Buy some stuff, help us out.
Yeah.
And you'll have the store up probably, the other store up in a couple of weeks, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm working on the whole format, so it kind of flows a little bit smoother. But I also have to take the photos. But we had a little bit of trouble, printer problems, so we're going to actually go to a laser printer for some of the sleeves. But
And you finished my website.
And I finished the website, so that was nice.
Yeah,
talk about load off my back.
And mine, too.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. It looks great. But I don't think you want to give out that website, do you?
Not right now.
Okay.
Yeah. I was advised not to.
Yeah, there's really no sense of pimping your website because it's really not for...
It's got nothing to do with ghosts.
And it has nothing to do with the mass public either, so...
Not really.
The general public.
And I was warned, since I'm in the forensic field, by other people in the forensics field that know that I'm into ghost research, don't really make a big deal out of it because, you know, when I have to go to court and testify, the whoever's... challenging their attorney or prosecutor or whatever could jump all over me about it and try and paint me as a kook.
Well, you are, but...
Yeah, but I mean...
But it has nothing to... Actually, if you listen to any of our podcasts, we pretty much knock any haunted case in down.
But a jury's not going to understand that. So
yeah, that's true.
If they could paint me as a ghost hunter or whatever.
Well, that's what everybody seems to jump on. Whatever's the hottest trend, Ghostbuster, Ghost Hunter.
Well, yeah, but the next thing you know, I'm a Satanist or something like that. I mean, the general public, I mean, a bunch of jurors aren't going to understand, and I just don't need the hassle.
Especially when a lawyer's trying to go after you, the jugular.
Yeah. No, they're going to try to make me look bad or discredit me, and that's one way they can do it. So I told these people, I said, hey, look, it's a little too late for that. I mean, we're working on a movie, we're working on a TV series, we got the podcast. If you do a search on my name on the internet, I mean, I come up all over the place, and it's all ghost-related stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to give out the web address.
I'm down with that.
All right.
Dog.
So, all right, everybody. Well, next week we'll have some good material for you. Thanks for listening to the show. You got anything else to say?
No, we even got up 24 minutes.
Okay.
So that's not bad. So everybody have a good, happy spring.
Yes. And we will catch up with you next week.
See you.
Hey, this is Brian from Hometown Tales, and I'm afraid of ghosts.
Yes, he is. I'm a little bit skeptical, as Garrett likes to say. It's Gene and Brian from the Hometown Tales podcast, letting everyone know that you're listening to the Haunted New Jersey podcast. which we enjoy because they really research things and we just make fun of things.
That's what we do.
Yeah. All right. Hope you like it. We do. See ya.
See ya.
No folklore. No fairy tales. No fantasies. These stories are true.
This is Al Rauber, and I've investigated over 1,000 haunting cases throughout the U.S. and England. Cape May seems to have an overabundance of past inhabitants refusing to leave. As beautiful as Cape May is, who could blame them?
The New York Times exclaims, Cape May is such a hotbed of paranormal activity, and Al Rauber's tour is among the most popular around. The Lower Township Gazette writes, this is a tour that everyone who visits Cape May has to go on. 7 Mile Times prints, stories are based upon true, real-life experiences in 28 years of research, not fantasy.
That's the original Haunted Cape May Tour. For tickets, please call 609-463-8834.
Hi, this is Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, paranormal investigator, and you're listening to the Haunted New Jersey Podcast.
Hi, Pam. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So,
how about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Not bad. Been busy with work, and you've been busy with work, too.
Yeah, I have been, and also finishing up the suicide book. We just finished doing our final typo check.
And, oh, great.
Mostly missing commas and a few misspelled words, but... they're saying now they think it's going to be out in June. But you know what's really cool is we've been getting endorsements or advanced reviews from a number of people, and they're really, really positive. So
what's the name of the book for some of the people, the new listeners?
It's called Suicide, What Really Happens in the Afterlife.
Okay.
And it looks at three different types of suicide, traditional suicides, assisted suicides, and suicide bombers. And at what channeled messages have come back to us, both in the literature and also we did ask some mediums to do some direct channeling for us because it's very hard to find material on the suicide bombers, partly because the Muslim faith is not big on channeling.
Where they see it as like occultish or...
They really are not into anything that's supernatural.
Okay.
And it's culturally sort of unacceptable.
Lloyd had mentioned that. You know, I'm taking that class with him, the Teleforce, for his parapsychology certification, and he had mentioned at one point that he had a friend that was a Muslim, and she didn't believe in ghosts, although she had some experiences, but, you know, not having any context based on her culture to place the experience, she didn't think much of it at the time. So that's interesting that you bring it up.
Well, there are certain phenomena that are accepted there, like deliberately caused bodily damage, which is where you can, like, stick a sword to somebody, pull it out, and there's no bleeding, and it instantly heals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unclear whether that's actually paranormal wounding or paranormal healing, but there's something paranormal. But they accept that because it's considered a proof of faith.
All right. And so, other cultures must have the same thing too, though, don't they? Or is it just the Muslim culture?
Other cultures do in different ways. It's just like stigmata is not limited to the Christian religion.
Right.
You actually can get stigma, you can get Jewish stigma, you can get Muslim stigma. It's just less talked about.
Okay.
So all of those, that's in the PK zone. I talk about a number of those, and it's very clear that all of those kind of mind over matter or mind over body phenomena occur in every religion.
Yeah. So is the book going to be available on Amazon.com? And
it's already up there.
Oh, it's pre-sales, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Discounted price at Amazon. But
that's right.
It's a fun book, and it was interesting looking back on it. I think there are two things that really made me want to do this book, and one is that, as parapsychologists, we don't always contribute a lot to society. We're sort of forgotten. It's as if we're unimportant. We don't have anything to add. And I realized this is something that we can contribute back to society, this knowledge of what seems to happen in the afterlife, both in terms of a way to prevent people from committing suicide, because it's very clear that it's not a solution, and as a way to help understand other problems, such as terrorism, and what's really going on with assisted suicide. What are the real issues we need to think about when we're fighting over whether to legalize this or not?
Do you have any personal feelings on it, or do you stay kind of neutral? In the
it's
book?
It's interesting because I, as a doctor, have been asked to provide euthanasia. I've had people who came to me for surgery and asked me not to wake them up. And I will not do that.
I'm not comfortable
with that. But that's my personal choice. I would have to say I am probably not as against assisted suicide as I was when I started writing the book.
Okay.
But I still think it's something that is a choice that needs to be made very carefully and with a lot of thought and only after talking to a lot of people, because it can have karmic impact. There were some people who came back and they said, you know, I shouldn't have done it because part of my blueprint was to suffer this certain amount and have somebody take care of me, and I cut that short. So interestingly enough, they had fewer regrets than the traditional suicides, but they were not entirely without regrets. So it's sort of a mixed bag, and it's saying, you know, consider this option very carefully before you take it. And it may be the right option. It may be a good one, but consider it carefully because there may be more at stake than you're thinking about.
As far as well, your feelings, are there any negative, have you found from the channeling any negative aspects of premature suicide of death?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you're, I mean, part of why, the other reason why I wrote this book is because as a doctor, I believe in informed consent. So if you're going to take your own life, know what you're getting into. And the traditional suicides make it very clear that it's a mistake, that no matter what your reason is for trying to commit suicide, it's a mistake. You aren't going to get what you want. I mean, some people even didn't regret that they were dead, but they regretted how they died, or they regretted who found their body.
Right.
And it's very clear that at the heart of suicide is selfishness.
True.
And it's okay to be self-focused. They're very clear about this, but it's not okay to be selfish and be unaware of what the impact of your death is going to have on others.
And were they held back in any way when they transitioned?
Yeah, a number of them had a lot of trouble with their transitions, and they had trouble recognizing their greeters. I mean, it's not that there weren't people there to try and help them, but they couldn't see it. There are some suicides, for example, who just can't get it into their head that they're dead,
and they're still here
trying to kill themselves over and over and over again. You know, because they're still alive and they're so sure there's nothing after death that when they have continued consciousness, they just figure they failed. And so they try again and again and again. And the other thing is that they can sort of be in this fog of depression, or many people commit suicide maybe on drugs or alcohol at the time.
Okay.
And even though they don't have a physical body anymore, and you think, oh, okay, that should be gone, there seems to be a certain amount of psychological carryover.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess drug addiction and alcoholism, a large part of it is psychological.
The same thing as everybody else. You know, you take your psychological baggage with you.
Yeah, your personality, you know, more or less stays intact.
Oh, absolutely, and you see that nowhere more clearly than with the suicide bombers.
Oh, yeah, you were speaking about them last
time. Actually, almost
hysterical. Yeah, they're they're still kind of belligerent, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't want to admit they were wrong. I mean, it's really funny because they will dance around the whole thing about whether they were lied to or had a false expectation of what was going to happen. And it's very clear that things are not like they were told, and yet they don't want to admit they were wrong or that they screwed up. So,
well,
it's really kind of funny.
Let me ask your opinion, because I get asked this a lot. With what you know as a parapsychologist, it's kind of a unique situation because you're a parapsychologist and you're also a psychic. Do you with all your experience in both fields, do you fear death?
Oh, no.
No? Okay.
No, absolutely not. I think there is, gosh, how do I put this? Because I don't want to encourage people to suicide. That is
no,
not a way
no.
To
but everybody's got a everybody's got a
there's
fear.
There's a lot more suffering in life than there is in the afterlife. And the memories I have past life memories. I have interlife memories, which is sort of interesting. I remember some periods between lives, and they were wonderful. I mean, I can understand these near-death experiencers who try to commit suicide just because they long to get back to that state of being in the afterlife.
Well, you know, I've done a fair amount of reading on near-death experiences, too. And what do you think about the NDEs where people say they go to hell? True? Hallucination?
No, I think it's part of that psychological baggage that you take your expectations and your beliefs with you. And you see that over and over in all the channeled material that to a certain extent, at least initially, until you've done your life review and self-judgment, you really do kind of create your own reality.
I see.
And to a certain extent, we do this even while living. We all have, you know, some of us have rose-colored glasses, and you see what you expect to see.
True.
You feel like people react to you the way you expect them to react to you and that kind of stuff. Whether it's true or not, whether an independent observer would say that or not, it becomes even more true in the afterlife. And some of the more amusing messages from the spirit of Arthur Ford and others is that if they are trying to transition someone who's a fundamentalist, regardless of the religion, okay, that they have to go through all kinds of charades to get these people to recognize and accept that they're in the afterlife. But like they have supposedly groups of actors who will pretend to be, you know, Gabriel with a horn and angels welcoming them. And the suicide bombers, some of the guides there deliberately showed themselves as virgins or as holy men to get these guys to transition. Because they wouldn't be accepted. They wouldn't accept anything else.
So otherwise, they stick around here, right?
Right.
Yeah, and become a ghost, quote unquote. Well, we had one of our listeners send an email in for you, so I'm going to ask you.
Sure.
This is from Tanya in Chicago, and
okay.
She says I'd actually.
Hi, Tanya.
She says I'd actually planned to ask if you were planning on having your other friend back, Pamela. She was on the show. She was on a few shows back and had mentioned a little bit about her training as a psychic. I've always been very interested in psychic talents and was wondering if Pamela could go into a little more detail about being trained.
Ah, you know, everybody has these abilities, and whether you develop them really depends on what your personal needs are. And I don't think you really have to get any fancy books to do it or take training courses to do it. You can do a fair bit on your own just if you start a regular practice of meditation, just stilling the mind. And there's probably 40-50 different ways to meditate, too. So everybody has a way that works for them. Larry Lachan wrote a book which is called How to Meditate that actually talks about a number of different ways you can meditate. The thing I always warn people if they want to develop their psychic abilities is that you need to be aware that what you're doing is you're trying to improve communication with the unconscious mind. And all our psychic information does appear to come through the unconscious. That seems to be our access door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly why a lot of people get psychic information in dreams. And I have noticed, of course, the more you pay attention to accurate psychic information, the more the unconscious tends to be willing to share with you. But it will also share other things with you, like your personal issues and your own psychological baggage. And it's an absolute must, if you're going to try and develop your psychic abilities, that you also work on your stuff, whether with a trained therapist or a good friend or something. I certainly would think a trained therapist might not be a bad idea, because stuff is going to come up. You're going to have to deal with it for multiple reasons, but one of those reasons is that your unconscious mind is a filter and it's going to color or distort psychic information unless you make that filter clear.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, so you really have to work on your stuff. And I've seen it over and over that people do a lot of meditating and then all of a sudden they start having incredible stuff come up and they don't want to deal with it and they sort of shut down. So that's something you really need to be very careful on, very clear on. But I think if you're meditating regularly, if you are sort of listening to what your unconscious is telling you, and I find you can practice in all kinds of ways. For example, when I was first developing my abilities, I lived in Orlando, Florida, and I had a couple routes I could get home. And they usually took the same length of time, so there's no particular advantage time-wise to taking one route or the other. But one of them almost always had an accident, which meant it was going to be much slower. But you never knew which one it was. It was almost like a gamble. And so I would practice tuning in and figuring out which one would be the better way home, and then I'd turn on the traffic report and I'd see if I was right.
What was the percentage? Do you know?
It was pretty high.
Yeah.
But there are other ways you could do it, too. I mean, it depends on what's important to you. For shopping, I'm really good at figuring out what I'm going to pay and where the best store is to buy it.
Isn't that just woman's intuition?
Everybody has this intuition. Human intuition.
All right.
Human
intuition. My wife's got that intuition, too.
Seriously, you know, there's all kinds of everyday ways that you can get direct feedback. Because what you want to do is you want to find something that you can get feedback, whether you're right or wrong, so you can start to listen, you know, learn how to listen to what is just your conscious mind making up a story for you.
Well, that is
psychic information.
Well, Tanya goes on, there's a second part.
Oh, sorry.
And there's a second part to her question, which fits right into what you just said.
Okay.
She goes on to say, also, how do they know that what they're feeling or sensing isn't just their imagination or hallucinations?
It's really tough. And I think the biggest problem, well, it's interesting. The first question you usually get as a parapsychologist dealing with a psychic who's first developing is, how do I turn it off?
Mm.
They don't want to know how to turn it off. They want to know, how do I turn this off? You know, but the big issue is that you have to relearn reality testing. If you think of yourself, you know, when you're an infant, you have to learn how to figure out what's real and what isn't. And you spend years learning how to test reality for feedback.
Okay.
When you become a psychic, you have to relearn reality testing because things that you were taught in the past were not real can be real and vice versa. And it's sort of an individual process. You want to pick things where you can get feedback, you know, as a way of practicing. You want to work on your issues so that which you get is more likely to be accurate.
Right.
And I'll tell you, no psychic that I know of tries to read for themselves.
Oh, they don't?
Because it's too personal, you're too biased, it's too hard to get clear on it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll sometimes get accurate hits, but you always take them with a grain of salt. And in fact, I would hope that everyone, in fact, mostly good psychics I know, are always happy to admit they can be wrong, you know, because you can be. Nobody's
right. Yeah, right.
You know, so I think, so you sort of approach it as, I may be right, I may be wrong, but let me start paying attention because there are subtle differences in the messages you get that are real from those which are self-generated. They're very subtle. It's sort of like if you've ever had a precognitive dream, which I've had about 3 in my life, I'd say, true precognitive dreams. They have a very different feel to them. And it's just hard to describe other than that. They've got a vividness to them that an ordinary dream doesn't have, or they'll have details that you don't normally see in a dream. There's just something a little different.
Can you classify deja vu as a precog dream or not?
Not always.
Not always, all right.
Not always. Sometimes it's other things.
Okay.
It can be a mix of things. It can be you saw something on a television show, or you know somebody mentioned something and you forgot it later.
Okay.
There's a number of different things involved in that get lumped together as déjà vu.
Okay. Well,
but you just have to pay attention to the subtleties.
All right.
And you have to learn how to listen to those quiet moments. You sort of have to still your mind and then sort of see what floats up, and then you start to learn usually with a feeling sense. You know, one of the better books I read on this that talks about how to judge what's accurate and what's not was actually a little experiment that's listed in Psychic Diaries by Lisa Matteau. And she talks about how she trains her students by having them state things they know are true and they know are false. So it's like, I'm a woman, and then you sort of pause and you feel how your body feels. And then you say, I'm a pineapple, and you pause, and your body feels a little bit different.
Hmm.
And you practice that, listening to your body, listening to how you feel as you hear those words. Where you, again, where you have absolute feedback. You know what's true, you know what's false.
Right.
And then you start experimenting with others in terms of listening and seeing how do you resonate with their words. Does this feel true? Does this feel false? Same with the information you get. A lot of times when I'm with other friends and we're doing psychic readings for each other, I'll state something out loud. Not because I necessarily know it's true, but because I want to feel, does it feel true as I say it or not? And then I'll say, oh, yes, this feels true, or no, this does not feel true. Let's try again. Let's get this more accurate.
So a lot of it really is bona fide, real intuition, I guess, and just, you know, developing, you know, you get it. So I guess that's why. Sorry for stating the obvious. But you got to realize that I know that somewhere inside of me I have some psychic ability, but I'm not psychic.
Everyone can do this. You know, Al confided to me that he can tell whether he's going to get EVPs in a place or not.
Oh, you know, he's mentioned that to me too. And I've gotten really. Yeah, I know. I have intuition in the course of like my business, but I'm not talking about. And I know that's psychic. To a degree,
right.
Intuition is
but
psychic.
There, you see, what you have to understand is what you have accurate intuition about mm-hmm. doesn't tell you what your limits or abilities are. All it tells you is what's important to you.
That's true. True.
Because that's where it develops. So if you haven't your work, then that tells you your work is important to you.
Right.
You know, Al gets it with EVPs because EVPs are important to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've mentioned before, when I was taking call, it was really important to know how to plan for my evening. I couldn't tell you what I was going to get at what hour of the night because it was important. And then when I no longer needed that disappeared. So think of it as, you know, I kind of get amused when people say, well, I could never do this, but I can do this. And I go, okay, now they've told me what's important to them.
Okay.
They haven't told me what their limits are, only what's important to them.
Well, you told me before that you had your first apparitional sighting.
Yes.
Do you want to get into that?
About a week after we talked.
Okay.
It was really early on a Saturday morning, and the USS Hornet. And usually when I come in the morning, the lights are on. But this time, all the overhead lights were off in the hangar bay, and it was only lit from these huge open doors in the sides of the ship. And I turned on my flashlight, and the flashlight was, like, really, really dim. And I shook it, you know, like, what's wrong
right.
with this thing? Because it was working fine the last time I used it. And I'm thinking, well, I guess I needed to change the battery. So I turn it off because it's, like, it's so dim, it's no good whatsoever. And so I'm walking back towards the back of the hangar bay, and I see this man from the back in this bulky, dark green flight suit climbing into the open round hatch in the side of this helicopter. And it only lasted for like a few seconds. And it's like I blinked and he was gone.
Well, go ahead.
And what was really funny is I tried the flashlight again about 20 minutes later and it was fine. It was full strength.
So you had a little bit of electrical malfunction there.
Yeah.
So to the people that are new to the podcast, why don't you explain what the USS Hornet is and what you do there?
Yeah, the USS Hornet is a floating museum. It was the original ship that picked up the Apollo astronauts, and it has a very distinguished history. It was built during World War II, and there was a period of time when it was the only aircraft carrier in the Pacific because all the others were disabled and had to go back in for repairs, and it was single-handedly holding the line against the Japanese. So very, very distinguished history, honorable ship, and it's also an extremely haunted ship.
Yep.
But the ghost didn't seem to come to it until after they decided to turn it into a museum. When it was in the scrapyard, for example, there aren't stories of it having been haunted there. And it's like the ghost came back to try to help the ship become a museum. And they really do love the ship.
And these are deceased, what everyone believes are deceased servicemen that served on the ship when they were alive?
They served on a number of ships. Most of them I've encountered are either servicemen, or there are a few who actually were dock workers who helped build the ship.
Okay.
And I guess one guy I saw way down in one of the holds that you don't normally let the public in. It was this 50-year-old guy, kind of grizzled, and what I was getting is he died of a heart attack.
And you didn't actually, you see him, you kind of tuned into him psychically, right?
Yeah, it was, because, I mean, I was with Al, who's my boss. Mm-hmm. I'm part of the ship restoration, so we sometimes go on parts of the ship that are not open to the public or even other staff workers because we're trying to do repairs or fix things and check on situations. And he doesn't entirely believe in the ghost. He sort of has very mixed feelings. So he teases me about it all the time. But I'm like, looking at this guy, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't a sailor. Because most of the guys I see look like they're in their 20s, you know?
Yeah.
Or late teens. And I'm looking at this guy, I'm going like, what the heck is he doing here in coveralls, you know?
Yeah.
And so I tuned in, and I told Al. And Al actually found it pretty credible, what the information I got. And said it was quite possible. But
this one guy in the helicopter, you actually you saw with your eyes an apparition.
I actually saw with my eyes.
And
it was like a very unusual for me.
And the helicopter, which is, it's I guess, part of the museum, right, exhibit?
Yes, we have a number of planes and helicopters that have been restored. Now, they were not originally on this ship.
That's what I was going to bring up.
They're all military equipment. There's what was sort of interesting about this is there's another helicopter we have where a lot of people have had sightings of a man in a flight suit walking across the hangar bay and getting into the helicopter.
Well, in your opinion, do you think
this was a different one? Nobody had reported one with this helicopter.
These different apparitions that are seen about the ship, or maybe just the ones in the helicopter, do you think that they're
more... No. Lots of apparitions. In fact, I was talking to a guy...
Right.
There, after this happened, I was so excited. I was talking to this guy who is part of the liveaboard crew that stays on the ship a lot and does overnights with scout groups and church groups and others, Sea Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying he had an apparition materialized like just a few inches from his face.
Wow.
You know, and they have objects flying all over the ship, and they seem to have activity like on a daily basis.
But do you think that these are more place memory conscious entities?
There is place memory there, but these are definitely conscious.
Okay.
Conscious. Now, the one I saw could have been place memory.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that makes me doubt it is that my flashlight was dying.
Okay, yeah, that probably wouldn't happen.
That suggests something... I've never seen equipment malfunctions with just place memory.
Okay.
Equipment malfunction seems to be when you have conscious spirits.
Yeah, we've had, you know, equipment malfunction too, just to have it, you know, 15 minutes later work well. But you know, those, if my memory serves me correctly, are more, they're in places where there's a conscious entity.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I think back on it, you know, and there is certainly plenty of place memory on this ship.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually mostly positive place memory because it was really a very lucky ship. There's one bomb elevator where I know I and other psychics just feel really sick. It's really unpleasant because there was an explosion there and a death. But for the most part, it's really a very positive place with the place memory. But when I start seeing equipment malfunctions, I start thinking, you know, conscious interactive spirit. There's some kind of PK going on, so... I know that Bill Roll is thinking now it's possible for place memory to actually store PK energy and be responsible for poltergeist phenomena, such as in the focusing effect, where an object that the poltergeist agent has particularly strong feelings about keeps getting affected, and it'll happen even when the poltergeist agent isn't around.
Because the energy's been stored and built up?
That's his theory. Now, I would also have to say, though, that if space and time don't really exist when it comes to psychic phenomena, then I don't think it would really matter whether a poltergeist agent was physically present or not for
that's
something
true.
To happen.
Yeah.
They could just think about it and affect it. So it's hard to say, but that's a theory. It's worth considering.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly have to say every time I've seen an equipment malfunction, I've been suspicious there was a conscious spirit there.
Well, now I'm jealous. I'm really jealous because you have an apparitional sighting, and I haven't.
I did my first real apparitional sighting. I was very excited.
Well,
and next week, I'm going to be on the Rita Hayworth episode of Dead Famous. So,
and that's on Tuesday nights?
It's on Tuesday nights in the Biography Channel. It's on 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Pacific. And it's a great show. I'm very curious what they actually show of what happens. Now, that was interesting because I was there for about 7 hours, five of which we filmed. And I actually got there a couple hours early because it was down in downtown L.A., and I didn't want to deal with downtown L.A. after dark. It's
yeah.
not a real safe area. And they let me look around the theater a bit. It was the Palace Theater. And I know this is not going to be on film, so I'll talk about it. And I'm exploring upstairs, and I get this janitor, a ghost janitor. And I'm like, I have never encountered a janitor ghost before in my life. And I'm thinking, am I crazy or what, you know? But I keep getting that he's a janitor. So I go downstairs, and I talk to the director, and he said, oh, did you find anything? I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but yeah, there's a janitor up there. And he said, Chris got the same thing.
Oh, no kidding.
Chris Fleming, yeah, who's one of the co-hosts. So
yeah.
I had to laugh. That made me feel good that I wasn't the only one who got this ghost janitor. And I do want to correct a misunderstanding that came up the last time we talked.
Okay.
Chris actually started getting EVPs when he was 7 years old, so he's been doing this all his life.
That's like me. I started getting them. I didn't know what they were at the time when I was about 11 or 12, and they used to scare the hell out of me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's good. Yeah, but some kids like to be scared.
So. Yeah, I didn't know what it was. All I could think of is a ghost. But that's way before, you know, this is like the mid-70s or late 70s before I had ever even heard of EVP. But go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the show should be interesting, but you never know what's going to end up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I know.
Or whether I even appear for more than like 30 seconds. But there were three aspects to it. You know, Chris and I investigated the upstairs of the theater, and I suspect, and some of the downstairs too, but I suspect all that's going to be cut because everywhere we went, the ghost left as soon as we went there. I mean, it's funny, Chris and I could both feel where they were. We'd go over to them, and they'd leave. And we'd go to where they'd gone to, and they'd leave again.
I guess they're antisocial.
It was like, we're supposed to be the audience. We don't want to be in front of the cameras. It was really funny. And then they did the Ouija board, which I know they're going to have some of. And then towards the end, as can often happen with Ouija boards, a very negative spirit came through. And part of why we filmed for 3 hours more than the director was intending was we were dealing with that. So it'll be interesting to see if they show any of that.
Cool. So that's this coming Tuesday, the 11th?
It is.
At 8?
7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock
Eastern
time. Dead Famous, Rita Hayworth, Biography Channel, and it should be interesting.
I was emailing with Chris last week while you were away, and hopefully he's going to come down to the AAEVP conference with us in June. So
yeah, I'm not going to be able to make that.
Yeah,
I
know.
I'm going to be doing some remote viewing stuff then. But
Well, maybe you'll be able to join us that way.
I think
right?
I'll be busy
right.
doing my own thing. No,
all right. Well,
but
there's one other thing that I wanted to talk to you about tonight, and that was the literature review for our study that we're going to be doing sometime this summer.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a literature review for the Faraday cage study we're doing, where we're going in and trying to record voices. Do you
right.
want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, I've always felt like the biggest mistake that some people make is to not figure out what other people have done before they do their research. And in fact, for a long time in parapsychology, that was a huge problem because there was no way of searching the literature. Everybody had this journal or that journal, but nobody had them all. And so you'd end up duplicating each other's work. And now that there's a Chi Lit base on the Internet where you have most of the major parapsychology journals online and searchable, you know, there's no excuse to not see what other people have done. And I've got to say, not a lot has been done in the parapsychology literature. I'm afraid most of the EVP research seems to be getting published in
ITC journals,
right? Or EVP journals, where parapsychologists don't really have access to them. And that's kind of got a couple problems with it in my mind. If anyone out there is doing research, I really encourage them to publish a little bit more mainstream, because for one thing, you don't have people giving you feedback in terms of the quality of your work so that you can continue to improve it. And sometimes they think of things that you didn't think of, and
but
it's very helpful.
Go ahead.
And I was going to say, and the other thing is that other people aren't going to find out what you've done, mm-hmm. and so that bit of knowledge doesn't get added to the general knowledge base.
But hasn't the parapsychology community up until relatively recently kind of poo-pooed EVP? I mean, about it.
I think the problem with this, I think they believed in EVP. They were interested in it originally. I mean, there are published reports. The first published report, I think, was in like...
It's in the 50s?
1950, I can tell you in just a second.
52?
Because it's in the paper I wrote.
Right.
It was... I cannot pronounce it.
Wasn't that Bayless?
Bausse and... Yeah. You can edit this out, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to, but I can.
It was by Bayless in
right.
1959 in the All Journal right. of the American Society for Psychical Research. Those mm-hmm. people were nice enough to fax me for free a copy of that letter.
And but then it was like long spans.
Talking about their research, huh?
It was long spans after... between like the late 50s and into the 70s and 80s where nothing would be written.
I think there's a couple problems. One is a lot of parapsychologists got kind of turned off by the enthusiasm with which it was approached by amateurs. In other words, I think they kind of reacted the way parapsychologists today react to people wanting to show them pictures of orbs.
Ghost hunters.
You know, some of those probably are paranormal, but so many of them are artifact that we don't even want to look at them. And I think that was part of the problem, is they kind of reacted to this over-enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is that a lot of parapsychologists are lousy at getting EVPs. It is a skill, both to get them and to hear them. And you need both of those skills, being able to acquire them and to hear them,
right.
to be able to be a successful researcher. And part of the reason I'm joining up with you and Al and Chris to do this is because I'm lousy at hearing and getting EVPs.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I'm really good at literature reviews.
No, you are. You can write, let me tell you.
But, you know, and I'll tell you, John's the same. John Klimo, who wrote the book on channeling and co-wrote the suicide book with me. You know, he is very deep in survival research. He loves EVP research. He unfortunately hasn't published much of it. That's going to change in the future. But he's not very good at getting them.
Okay.
So what you have to do is you have to find someone you can team up with, which is what Bayless did. He teamed up with Blase to get them. And I guess a lot of people don't want to research something they're not good at getting. Yeah,
true.
It makes sense.
But, you know, some people we go out with are what we call EVP killers, that every time we'll go out with these people consistently and we get nothing, it's like bad chi or karma or something like that.
Well, actually, I suspect it's like any other kind of psychic thing. If you have a psychic ability that allows you this mediumship, there are also people who can block that psychic ability. Alan Vaughn talked about that in the PK Zone, that there were certain people who he could be around who just seemed to create this negative blanket of energy.
Right.
That you couldn't do anything around. And
well,
I think there's some truth to that. And there's actually documented research proof of that, if you want to know it, in that there are certain people known as psi-missers. Okay?
Psi-what?
Psi-missers.
Okay.
For example, say you're doing the Xenar ESP cards,
mm-hmm.
and there's five different designs, so random chance says you should get 20% of those right, just by accident.
Okay.
Okay? Someone who's psychic and wants to be psychic may be able to get, you know, 60-70% of them right. Okay?
Right.
Somebody who is a skeptic will get zero right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're using their psychic ability to deliberately miss the target.
It's way below average.
To get way below average. And they are, ironically enough, proving they have psychic ability by doing so, even though they're trying to prove psychic ability doesn't exist. So it has this sort of beautiful karmic irony to it.
But if you were to present that with a karmic irony, they would just refute it anyway.
They have to admit there's something wrong if they're not meeting random chance. Anything off of random chance, whether high or low, is a sign of psychic abilities. It's just, how are you trying to use it? Are you trying to use it to prove psychic abilities, or are you trying to use it to prove that it doesn't exist?
Right.
And I think some of these people on an unconscious level may be uncomfortable with EVPs, and on some level, therefore, manage to use their psychic abilities to block it occurring.
Right. No, I agree with you. I mean, I've seen it firsthand.
Well, there's research to back it up. You know, they're essentially, you know, creating a sign missing experience.
So,
don't you love it?
Does it look like we're going to get to the Faraday cage this summer? Do you have any indication?
I think there's a good chance. You know, John also talked to Dean Radin, and apparently the experiment's only supposed to go for a few more months.
Okay.
I think we should go ahead with creating a specific methodology and research design and decide precisely what equipment we're going to use.
Okay.
And present that to Noetic scientists.
Great.
So that, you know, they can see this as something definite. And I think they'll be happier with the idea that this is something to be published and not just something, you know, for playing around.
Okay. Well,
so either PSPR or the Australian Journal of Parapsychology, I'd say, are likely possibilities.
Great.
Getting it down the road.
All right. Well, you know, I'm going to run because it's really late here. And I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. And
any time, always happy to answer questions.
Yeah.
And I'll be really curious to see what shows up on Rita Hayworth.
Yes.
All the stuff we filmed.
Good.
If any of it, you never know if any of it shows up.
Yeah, it's out of our control.
Oh, and Chris and I talk about orbs in the balcony too. We'll see if that shows up.
Oh yeah, probably not. What were you debunking orbs?
I was stating my usual opinion of orbs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was being tactful.
Unlike me.
Well, I can do it on occasion.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Basically just saying what I've already stated here, that I feel there's just too many artifacts for them to ever be considered proof. And I do hope you create your rogues gallery of...
Oh, that was a good idea. We're going to do that.
I actually got a few.
Orbs?
On this trip. Mm-hmm. Some of which were due to the X-ray of the film, and some of which were just the usual
flash bounce,
dust, and other kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so
once
if you need a few samples, like I picked up a few this weekend.
Great. Yeah. Brent's doing other things right now, and he's getting married in a few weeks. But once probably in June, we're going to set something up like that to put photos up of orbs and explain them.
Okay.
And we'll take
yours. I won't hold my breath. But enjoyed talking to you.
All right. Well, hold on.
Everyone watch Dead Famous. It's a good show.
Next week, the 11th. All right. Well, hold on the line, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks, Pam.
This is paranormal researcher Randy Liebeck, and you are listening to the Haunted New Jersey podcast. God help you all.